Good morning. Just start, I think, by running through the main highlights for the first half. Gross sales are up 12% to £332 million. Our EBITDA, before exceptional items, rose 4.5% to £14.9 million, which is an EBITDA margin of 4.8%. Net assets at the half year were £172 million. Our cash was £65 million, and net debt of £71 million. In terms of the statutory numbers, revenue was up 11.4%. Operating profit was £1.7 million, compared to £2.4 million last year. And profit before tax was £200,000, which is in line with last year. During the half, we saw our average orders grow by 13% to 122,000. The items we delivered exactly as ordered were 98.3% for the period, and our on-time deliveries were 93.2% for the period. Just spending a bit more time looking at the P&L. So as I said, gross sales £332 million, up from £296.7 million in the first half last year. EBITDA of £14.9 million, as £600,000 ahead of the first half last year. The margin was down against the first half last year, but up against the second half of 2011. We had £300,000 of exceptional items. This is staff costs, which are to do with the preparation for the opening of the second warehouse. So we're starting to incur those costs in the first half. Depreciation rose by £1 million in the first half, really all to do with the capital investment programme that we've had for the last couple of years. EBIT, before or after exceptional items, was then £1.7 million. We had interest costs of £1.6 million. And the EBT, post-exceptional items, was £200,000. Turning to our key performance indicators. Average order size was down 0.9% to £113.10. I think we'll talk about that a bit more in the gross sales number. Average orders, as I said, was up 13% to 122,000. Our CFC UP efficiency was flat on the half, but there's quite a trend in the quarter by quarter. So at the end of last year, we finished at 109 units per hour. First quarter of this year, we saw a similar level of UPH. In the second quarter, that had grown to 120. So it's a significant increase through the half, and we see that continuing to grow in the second half. Average deliveries per van has continued a steady increase half on half and is now 150 deliveries per van per week. Our product wastage was up at 0.73% versus 0.67% last year. That's really to do with the decision we took about a year ago to increase the availability of products on the website, which means we run with slightly higher stock levels and slightly higher wastage. That's why it's the same as the second half of last year. Items delivered as ordered are at 98.3%, up against the first half last year. And deliveries on time or early are at 93.2%, again, ahead of last year. Both those last two measures show a steady improvement in the performance of the operation in terms of delivering consistent service to our customers. Just spending a bit more time looking at the drivers behind gross sales. As I said, orders are up 13% in the first half. Our basket size was down by 0.9%. What we're seeing within that, we've seen in the last couple of years a greater decline in basket size as we've increased the percentage of customers on the Ocado delivery pass. That ratio is now close to 50% of our customers, and that's going to level out at that point. And we're also at the same time now starting to increase range, and that's having a positive effect on basket size. So I think whereas in the last few years we've seen a bigger decline in basket size, that's starting to flatten out. Gross profit was up 10.4% to £93.8 million. The gross margin before other income was down by 20 basis points to 30.5%. couple of things I'd like to bring to your attention within that. So if we, there are a number of items within the gross profit. So if you look first of all at the gross product margin net of supplier income, that actually moved up by 30 basis points against the first half last year. And that was despite us running a much higher level of promotions. So the level of promotions has now increased from 22% of sales to over 30% of sales. But that's really a sign that we're getting that funded by our suppliers, and that's helping to maintain and improve margin. We've seen a slight decline in income from deliveries because we've been more competitive in that area. That's gone down by about 30 basis points. But we've been offering a better service, so the adjustments we make at the doorstep were down by about 20 basis points, so a favourable movement there. Finally, we've increased the amount of money we spend on vouchers as part of our marketing mix. We'll come to marketing in a bit more detail, but you'll see that we've increased voucher spend by about 50 basis points, half on half. So the net movement there was a 20 basis point decline in gross margin. At the same time, we're continuing to see other income grow as a percentage. The rate of growth has slowed, but is still growing slightly ahead of sales, and that contributed a 10 basis point favourable movement. So net of other income, the gross margin was down by 10 basis points. In terms of other operating costs, overall they were up by 10 basis points. Key movements within that was on the trunking and delivery costs, where we certainly saw some fuel inflation in the first half of this year versus last year, the comparables. That accounted for a large chunk of the increase of 20 basis points. We've also, in the last 18 months, added 3 new spokes into our delivery network, which gives us long-term capacity in that area. At the moment, they're not yet at full efficiency, so we're seeing some cost inefficiencies, which is offsetting the delivery efficiencies that we are seeing as the drops per van per week continues to grow. CFC costs were flat year on year as a percentage of sales, and other operating costs were up slightly, and this is really to do with the card payments on mobiles are more expensive. So as we increase our share of mobile apps, that cost goes up. Admin expenses were better by 20 basis points, mainly due to a decline in the non-voucher marketing costs. Turning to marketing. So within marketing, a considerable shift in the half in terms of how we've spent our marketing money. We've put a lot more money into vouchers. That's gone up by from 1.2 to 1.8% of sales. And we've moved money out of the non-voucher costs, so that's dropped by 30 basis points. The net movement is about 30 basis points up in terms of marketing. So in summary, EBITDA has grown from 14.3 to 14.9 million. The EBITDA margin at 4.8% is 40 basis points down on the first half of last year, but is up on the second half of last year, where it was about 4.3%. And the key movements, as I've related earlier, are about gross profit being 20 basis points down and trunking and delivery costs being 20 basis points down, other movements netting themselves off. Probably can't. I think certainly at the back it's difficult to read this slide, so apologies. But just a quick look at our balance sheet. We've got net total assets of 276 million, up 58 million in the first half, as we continue to invest in the capacity of the business. That's double the gross debt of 137 million, which has also grown by 26 million in the half. We've got cash of 65 million. As we said, and that's a net debt of 71 million in the business. In terms of the cash flow in the half, we started with 92 million. We raised about 35 million in financing activities and repaid 13 million of other loans. So net movement of 22 million on the financing activities. EBITDA generated 14.7 net of working capital in there as well. Interest paid includes the capitalised interest, that's 2.8 million paid, and then investing activities of 60.6 million gives a period ends cash balance of $65.4 million. Just in terms of the capital investment in the period was $71.4 million. We're over the peak spend for the business. So in the second half of last year, we spent about £80 million in CapEx, $71 million this half, and that is continuing to decline for the second half. We've spent, of that $71 million, almost $50 million was on CFC2. We've spent about 65% of the money we need for phase one. So the total project spend for CFC2, just to remind you, is $215 million. But that gets us to an overall capacity of 190,000 orders. Phase one is for about 185, 190 million, and that gets us a capacity of about 125,000 orders. So we're 65% of the way through that spend. The rest will be spent over the next 12 months, some in the second half of this year, some are falling into the first half of next year. Right. Okay. Sorry, just to summarise, our sales in the first half have grown in line with market expectations. We've seen the operational efficiency in CFC1 improve versus the first half, and is continuing to improve as the new capital equipment and software upgrades take effect. And we end the half with a strong cash position, $65.4 million, and remaining undrawn facilities of $46.7 million. Thank you. I'll now hand over to Tim.
Thank you, Richard. So the highlights for the period, really, is capacity side. We continue to increase the capacity of CFC1. We took the average number of orders per week up, as Richard said, to 122,000. We reached a peak operating level of 138,000 delivered in a single week. We've seen significant increases from the beginning of the year in the efficiency in the existing facility. And we've seen some new equipment going live as well. So we spoke a lot about the different projects last year. The new OSR2 machine, the giant fast picking machine that allows us to extend our range, to close the trolley pick in the ambient area, and to increase our capacity, is now live. It's operating at about 40% of its eventual capacity as we continue to ramp it up. We've seen the UPH of the rest of the site improving as the code that we wrote last year to run the facility better is having a positive impact on the daily operations. CFC2 project is taking up a lot of time and a lot of effort in our business. It's obviously a project that will deliver as much capacity on the day it goes live as we had built in the previous 12 years in Hatfield. So it's a very big project for a company of our size. It remains on budget and it remains on time with expected opening in Q1 of 2013. Almost all of the designs are finished, is finished, and we're into the commissioning and testing of that facility. We're improving the offer to our customer, and that remains a central tenet of our business. We increased the range over the last half year, and we reached 22,500 lines at the end of the half and have continued growing since then. The Ocado own label range is seeing significant growth and is now found in approximately 80% of all customer orders. We improved the navigation and launched a new website, and we've seen more specialist shop-in-shop ranges. We've continued on the expansion of our non-food, moving from the supermarket range. We expect at the end of this year to have more like a hypermarket range. We've maintained our price position with our Tesco's price match now covering over 8,000 products, and we've increased the rollout of our Ocado Savings Pass. We've seen a very significant increase in the promotional activity that we offer to our customers. We've increased the number of active customers, and we've seen the strongest growth in active customers in lower income demographics, and we've broadened the appeal of the Ocado offer. As well as rolling out a new web shop, we've continued to extend the penetration of our mobile apps and enhance our mobile apps, and mobile transactions now account for 24% of our business. Overall in the market, we continue to see significant channel shift from bricks and mortar into online. We expect that trend to continue. The innovation and technology of our business is at the heart of our business and remains a key focus for us. So in terms of expanding capacity, as I mentioned before, we've rolled out a number of new initiatives. We rolled out a new ambient zone pick aisle in the half. we rolled out the new OSR2 and have ramped it up to 40%. It says 33 in here, we're actually above 40 now. It changes the whole time. Peak orders, 138,000. On the delivery network, as Richard mentioned, we opened 3 new spokes. We took the deliveries per van per week up to 150. Our long-term target of 175 remains. We improved the delivery accuracy, both on time and in terms of delivered exactly as ordered. We opened spokes in Oxford, in Wimbledon, and in Bristol over the last year. Oxford is now open and running with over 4,000 orders per week from it. Here are some pictures of our new CFC2. As you can see, a largely completed building, even with grass and trees there now. More importantly, underneath, you'll see some of the zone pick aisles, the racking of the OSR. The OSR in that building is over twice the size of the new OSR2 in Hatfield. And you'll see some of the pallet areas of the inbound docks as well. So this is a more automated facility than Hatfield that will turn on with greater efficiency than Hatfield, will have more resiliency and reliability, allowing us to improve our already award-winning service that we offer to our customers with greater degrees of accuracy and resiliency. The project is very advanced, as I mentioned before, and we are into the final stages of the wiring, the commissioning of various bits of plant in there, and we will soon start more end-to-end testing of this entire building for a go-live date in Q1 of next year. We've been working on the customer offer, and it remains a key focus for us. We will be doing a lot more work over the course of the rest of this financial year and around these main tenants. So as I mentioned before, on pricing, we're continuing the rollout of the Ocado own label, filling in gaps in what we see as the key products at key price and quality points. We continue the rollout of the Ocado saving pass, offering our customers a 10% discount on our already matched pricing on over 700 key products. We continue Tesco's price matching on 8,000 lines, and we're working on what other further initiatives we could do to further enhance our price position in the minds of consumers. The price perception that we have amongst our customers is significantly better than the price perception we have amongst the general public, and that's both an opportunity and a challenge for us to work on over the coming months. We've extended our ranges, so last year we unfortunately had to constrain our range as we undertook significant building projects in the existing warehouse. We've managed to reverse that trend and reach new highs on range to a level that we think matches the largest superstores in the UK, and we are going to continue growing the range through the course of this year. Freshness remains at the heart of what we do, and we still remain the only supermarket to offer guaranteed freshness to our customers from our website. The ease of use on the website is very important. We've made a number of changes to the website that have both enhanced the average basket size as well as made the shopping easier for the customer and driving more promotional activity through the site for them. Continue to work on availability, and increasing the number of spoke sites that we have increases the availability of slots to customers across the geography of the UK. So when you serve customers that live in Oxford, for example, from Weybridge, their availability of slots is not as good as when you open the new spoke site. So you both increase the capacity of your network for the future, but you also enhance the customer experience for the local customers. And we continue to work on the reliability and resiliency. So what type of things have we expanded into? We recently launched what we believe is the largest free-from shop in the UK. Number of people with special eating requirements, whether it's gluten-free, wheat-free, sugar-free, dairy-free, etc. So we've formed a dedicated free-from shop for those customers with wider ranges than any supermarket. We've moved into specialty food, whether that's increasing our kosher range. The Reflé de France range that you've seen before is going to be significantly enhanced in the next month with more French lines appealing to the French community living in the UK. We've increased our fair trade. We've continued to grow our organic sales, and we believe that we're about 7% of the UK organic market with premium brands such as the Daylesford Organic. In terms of usability and in terms of letting our suppliers get access to our customers and really be able to highlight their wares and sell them in the most efficient manner, really telling their story to the customers so customers understand what they're buying, we've increased the number of shop-in shops, and you can see some examples from Procter, from Natura, a high-end produce and fruit supplier, from Daylesford Organic, and also there I think it's from Ella's Kitchen. The Ocado own label range has expanded very, very significantly. Significant year-on-year growth, significant increase in basket penetration. In some of those categories now, we are up to 40% of the category in sales of Ocado own label. So really very high customer acceptance of that range. We will continue to extend that range towards the cap that we have in our sourcing contract with Waitrose. That cap is extended in May next year from 20% to 30% of the own label. It remains a key focus at Ocado to deliver more products to our customers, to fill in the gaps that we see in the range, the fantastic range that were offered by our supply partner, Waitrose. But in terms of competing with Tesco's and Sainsbury's, we see a number of areas of product gaps, basically, and we're filling those gaps in. And clearly, the customers agree with us given the sales of those products. The Ocado own label at the moment, from a margin perspective, is margin enhancing to us over the Waitrose own label. So it is a higher margin than Waitrose products minus the sourcing fee, and all own label is a higher margin than all branded products. So the Ocado own label, even at the lowish volumes that we start at, obviously as a new company in this space, is already margin enhancing, as well as seeing significant growth. We've talked about non-food. It was something that we spoke about at the time of the float. We brought somebody in to run the non-food business for us. We are this year focusing on moving from being a supermarket. By that, we would mean a company selling 4,000 to 5,000 lines of health and beauty, of pets, of some household goods in a grocery shop, to one selling something like 10,000 lines. So we're moving from a supermarket to a hypermarket. We're focused on those categories you can see on the slide: home and garden, pet, seasonal, baby, health and beauty. We're improving the navigation so that customers can find those products. And just changing the navigation can lead to a 50% uplift in some categories when it's performed. And so that is a growth. We are on that mission. I think we've seen our non-food range increase something like 50% so far this year, but we're expecting it to more than double by the end of the year. Our focus beyond this year will be to start launching what we would call destination stores. So stores with a very significant range, comparable to a dedicated retailer of health and beauty or home and garden or pets, with products being picked in those stores and being delivered alongside the Ocado delivery, but ranges in those stores extending beyond what you would normally find in a supermarket. So for example, in a pet food, specialty pet food that you can only buy at a vet or at a specific pet shop, is something we would expect to find when we launch our dedicated pet store, and to be able to allow customers access to have that and get it delivered alongside their weekly grocery shop. Price, obviously, in this economic environment is a key focus for all customers. We've done more messaging on pricing. You can see on the left-hand side there the ads that we ran explaining to customers that on their branded products, post-promotion, 66% of all baskets were cheaper at Ocado than they were at Tesco's. It's a kind of familiar basket analysis format that Tesco's used for many years in explaining their own pricing. So I think it's key for people to understand that it's not just that we're matching the headline prices pre-promotions, but our promotional penetration has increased so dramatically over the last 18 months that post-promotion, most of our baskets are cheaper than they are at Tesco's. We could, for a small investment in gross margin, move to guaranteeing that they were cheaper. It's not a step that we've taken yet, but it's something that we're constantly reviewing. We have extended the number of products in our saving pass, as well as extended the number of customers who have got saving passes over the last year. When a customer buys a saving pass, they get at least 10% off a very large range of very critical products that customers like to buy, like Evian, like Aria, like Duracell, like Kellogg's, like Tropicana and Pepsi. Though most of those brands are already price matched to Tesco's, so it's 10% off the price matched price. We see customers buying more from us, both in terms of volume and cash, when they sign up to get these discounts, because of the increased trust in the price position of us as a retailer in their eyes. As we mentioned there, we've run a lot more bundled offers and other promotions across the site to really drive home that we are a value retailer as much as anyone else in the market, and we continue focusing on driving value for our customers. In terms of stimulating demand, you know, this is a fascinating area. Obviously, the market's got incredibly competitive, given the fact that the overall grocery market has not grown anything like the amount of growth in space that our competitors have put down. And as a result, they're seeing very weak like-for-like sales. They're all seeing negative sales per square foot. And obviously, the market is very competitive. We're seeing a growth in the online acquisition channels. So for the first kind of 6 or 7 years of our existence, the majority of our marketing was spent on non-digital marketing, on direct mail and leafleting and that type of campaign, some radio and a tiny bit of television. We're seeing a significant increase in digital marketing that is effective for us. One of the interesting things that we launched over the last half was our association with the BBC Good Food site. You can now go on the BBC Good Food site and look at all the main recipes on that site, and they have a button on them to buy the ingredients from Ocado. We have an algorithm that translates the recipe into the ingredient list, and it's a self-learning algorithm. So as customers shop from it, if the first choice product we offered them isn't the popular one, it moves down the list, and the ones that customers are buying move to the top. So the next customer who comes on and asks to buy that recipe gets a refined suggestion from us. We're doing more work with Google and with Facebook. We recently hosted a Google Hangout with the Great British Chefs, which was very popular, and we extend to do more of that type of activity involving some customers in that Hangout so they could cook along with the chefs on a Google Hangout. If any of you haven't used them, you can have 10 people participating actually in the Hangout live. You can obviously stream it to as many people as want to watch it. And so we're doing more work there. We've done work with Groupon and Woucher. And I think we see a significant deepening of the interfaces with Facebook. Over the last half, over the last few weeks since the half, I think, we've actually launched the first integration with Facebook. So if you now do a review of one of our products on the website and you're logged into Facebook, that review will appear in your Facebook stream, start to move to your Facebook friends, and we can start to gain the benefits of the viral nature of social networking in grocery shopping. So we expect to see more integration into the Facebook site over the coming quarter. We've run more promotions, a lot more promotions, with all of our major suppliers. As the markets become more competitive, we need to keep pace with that. We've also got involved in some sponsorship activity, and we're sponsoring one of our Olympic hopefuls, and that's one of the vans that she designed for us. So we've got a few interesting vans out there for our customers to spot, both promoting Britain and promoting the British athletes in the Olympics. Mobile continues to be a big story for us. From a start in June 2009, 24% of checkouts now happening across our apps. So that's not actually, mobile is bigger than that. That's just the volume across apps. That doesn't take into account people shopping from our website over their mobile devices. It's the key to this is that it's totally seamless. If you are, if you pull your iPhone out, and if you stop tweeting and actually add an item to your Ocado order and your partner's at home, logs onto the computer, that item is simultaneously being added to their basket on their computer at home. So you can conduct your order over the course of a day, moving about off your mobile, onto your tablet, onto the work computer, and check it out when you get home if you want on your home computer. We're seeing increased usage. We've got an increased number of customers who we only see on mobile. We've got a lot of customers who use multiple platforms. We've launched onto BlackBerry and Windows last year. We've also added one-click ordering on a number of those platforms. If you've got an existing order, you can now go into the app and by pressing one button, add an item and check out your existing order with the extra item. We've turned live in the last month a new iPad app. We're actually running it in parallel to our existing iPad app at the moment. So for those of you who haven't tried it, please download it. It's under Ocado 2012. We will at some point be merging the two, but we like to do this in a low-risk fashion, so we like to turn a new website out there to a small number of our customers. That's not possible in apps, so we've launched a separate app, and we'll watch to make sure that we see an increase in functionality that the customer likes, which normally we can see by resulting in them adding more items to their basket and shopping more frequently with us across the app. So we look to check those trends out and listen to any customer feedback before we roll it out to the entire universe. Our customer adoption is continuing. The customer numbers are increasing to 337,000 active customers. We measure that on a rolling 12-week basis in the first half of 2012. Interestingly, as you look back over the last number of years, we are continuing to appeal to a broader section of society. This is very important for us. This is what we've been, you know, focused and working on for the last few years, and it's clearly working. If you look at the 2011 statistics from our last surveys, you can see 36% of our customers had joint household income of less than £40,000. We are not a posh shop for posh people. We are a very credible competitor from a retail experience to the main grocery players in the UK. We're continuing to work on making ourselves even more credible in that way. You know, channel shift is ongoing. Grocery shoppers continue to shift from stores to online. They've done it not as fast as general merchandise shoppers, but it is a continuing trend. As customers leave physical stores, those physical stores get less efficient as they have less footfall to cover their fixed costs. We continue to attract new customers both from stores and from those customers who have already migrated online with one of our competitors. I think I've said this before, but we are 5 to 10 times more likely to acquire their online customer than their bricks and mortar customer. We are delighted for the entire industry to convert all their customers from their bricks and mortar platforms to their online platforms because it makes our customer acquisition easier for us. We're a very, very credible player online. We deliver from earlier in the morning till later at night with more time windows than any of our competitors. We have a broader range online. We deliver fresher product online. We're more accurate. We're on time. We do a great job. Our customer service, our drivers are the most highly rated in the business. And so we want to see the online channel growing, not just Ocado growing. And I think this is a very important point. So channel shift will continue and will create a virtuous cycle. In summary, we continue to grow capacity as we set out to do in CFC1. The operational efficiency is improving in the CFC. As Richard mentioned, there was a significant improvement from Q1 to Q2. That improvement is continuing into Q3, and we expect to continue into Q4 as well. CFC2 remains on budget and on time and is expected to open in Q1 2013. Our grocery range is at record levels. We're working hard at constantly improving our price positioning, and we've done a lot to improve it over the last 18 months. We're continuing to improve the customer experience generally, in usability. We're continuing to drive awareness and demand. The market continues to shift, and we believe we're well positioned to gain new customers.